the Narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. We are the Battle of Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined this afternoon by Thomas Reedy.
Hi, it's Goatboy here with my voice not being nearly as bad as I think the last time we talked.
Yo man, thanks for joining me. You know, I thought during this time, you're a prolific painter. So I thought, I mean, and competitive player. You're not quite the filthy meta chaser that I am, but you're close. And you back it up by tons and tons of painting.
Yeah, I'm hampered by my love of bad guys. So I will always, always, always edge towards the bad guys. Every once in a while, I'll do something good. But it's more on the realm of cool versus the realm of actually like really good.
And then you convert it to make it look like a bad guy.
I've stopped doing that. That's what's weird. I thought about it. Like we've been doing a hobby post on Bell Lost Soul. So I'll take I painted all my dreadnoughts. Here's my dreadnoughts. And I'm like, wow, I've got a problem. I've got 20 dreadnoughts. And then I painted two more after it got released. I've got problems. I did a Demon Prince one. And then the other one I did is like, let me show you some random demon engines. And so I pulled out my last Counts as Army I did, which was back in seventh days in the beginning. I ran a double Death Star, Dark Angels, so Space Goats, and converted evil-looking Dark Angels. And I ran them without any psychers and just ran them around like that and did pretty good with them. I think it's going to show up in like a week or two. There's this crazy Dark Angels. You remember they came out with the Dark Angels DJ booth, is what we called it?
Yeah.
Speeder thing?
Yep.
So I took that. I put the Mutalith Chaos Star coming out the back end of it instead of the Relic of Caliban. And then I have skull face guys all driving it. So I made this, and then, I built out the army from there, and I have all these Raven Guard bikers with either double pistol, like Cypher double pistols for their plasma. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. It's the last Countess army I did. And I really liked it. It was a very phenomenal, because there's no psychics. It was like, I come to beat your face with space goats. But, I was hoping that the Space Wolf update would have given me more Thunder Wolf fun. They did sort of, but I probably still won't bring out Space Wolves.
I guess you can make a case for Thunder Wolves, but only a slight one. It's like a fringe. I don't think that's the way to go with the Space Wolf updates. We haven't been able to really get out there and like road test, stress test a lot of these ideas because of everything that's going on right now, but. It still looks like it's, Wolfen is probably the, if you want to put an assault threat in it, it has to be something in the Wolfen range.
I mean, either do Wolfen or, really at this point, it's like Impulsors with Primaris guys and Ragnar, because Ragnar is so good.
He is sick.
Will he beat the new Gazgul? No. Will he beat everyone else's face in? Yes. he is on the, like I said, I thought he was one of the better ones, because I think that his points were correct. His rules are correct. Like, he felt right. Like, he's supposed to kick the crap out of whatever he hits, right?
Yeah, his points, I would consider them, like, pushed. Like, it's an aggressive point, point level, because he has a lot of abilities, I think, that people, if you individually bought them, which is kind of the bonus of a special character, right? It gets it all in one thing, and you do get a little bit of a price break, typically now.
The only way you can get them is buying a giant box set, so.
Yeah, well, I meant like points, you know what?
I know. I'm always fine with it, because I thought his rules made everyone around him better versus him being too good on his own. Mm-hmm. So he did what he's supposed to do, which means he goes punches stuff. He hits certain things that he's necessarily, not going to murder certain things. So that's why I kind of like it. Like, in some ways, I like the new Mephiston update, but I wish they would have pushed him more in this direction a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's a lone wolf type of character, so he's not going to... So the things we'd have to do to fix him, he's not going to make people around him better. He's going to have to, just be better on his own. So, I think they should have pushed, I would have given him a rule where he comes in, gets a D3 extra attack automatically, because he's getting in, there's stuff like that.
Right, something to where Mephiston just needs to have a couple of active psychic powers at all times.
Exactly, that's how I would have pushed him, because it's like he's like, if you look at his rules and you look at his abilities and look at his points, like, yeah, he's perfectly fine. But we know in this day and age, it's like you need to do a little more. If you're not an aura generating beast that does stuff for everyone else around you, then you need to do more, because his auras are important.
Yeah, and it's hard to compare the two things. I mean, Mephiston is able to cast psychic powers on other people and have them go off and live their own lives.
He doesn't cast powers on people. He casts only on himself.
Right. Names. Yeah, but he has the potential. I mean, you're exactly right about that, but he has the potential, quote unquote. So whatever, you know, it's hard to dial in some of this stuff. So I don't want to initially make a one-to-one comparison. I see Ragnar more along the lines of what I'd prefer a Dante to be, you know, or
100%. 100% Dante should have been past the rubric and done this. I was like, all right, you come in, you give everyone a plus one to charge automatically off of you. You give plus one to attack. You do, or like plus one attack, plus one charge. I would probably give everyone heroically intervene around him, something like that as well. Cause those are all rules of like, everything makes sense. This all makes sense around him. And or then Krabula, do some,
you know, that's another, like the Red Grail gives this, this thing.
There's a
wish listing, right? Where, I mean, we might as well just, you know, go for it.
I know. I mean, well, it's one of those things that like, so you have the character game and you've seen where they've pushed some of this character game in directions that I think are too good or too everything else, right? Because this is where you have the dance on, like the well, we talked about it earlier yesterday, the apothecary, right? You know, in regular Marines, he's fine. Like, it's what you expect. It's 6 exceptional fame for regular Marines, perfectly fine, because you're not seeing these mass bolter. It's when they start mixing it with something else, you're like, you didn't quite think this, that giving a Marine a 5 upset, 5 field of pain is too much. So where's the, you know, where's the dance on this, and where's the aspect? Because I hate having things being made and then they have to tweak one rule for one legion. You know,
yeah.
It has to, like, you can't, oh, it doesn't give plus one to this one. But it's like, well, that's the way the rule always worked. You know, so the question should have been, you know, do we just limit, you know, what they can get or what they can't get? I don't know.
Okay with stuff for different chapters, and I'm even okay with like vehicles and things or units and stuff costing more points in another chapter. I don't even know that we need that point parity between all things that look like an intercessor. Like an intercessor in an Iron Hands is a lot better than an intercessor in a Salamander. You know, there's, if the intercessor and the Iron Hands cost 2 points more, I don't think anybody would complain.
I mean, I think you're looking at the where that level of instead of like, because they're trying to, they originally set to balance it all out and say, this is what this costs. I mean, like, it just doesn't work the way, because, you know, an intercessor in Blood Angels on turn 3 in a pure Blood Angels army in 6 inches to charge you is obviously a different type of thing than everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a trade-off too, right? Like, what if you do that, then there's some other thing. We're not, now people may be confused about how to build a list. Can they, when you start mixing in things into an army, mm-hmm. from different detachments, is it too hard to track? Is it, you know, is it too granular and frustrating to track as an opponent and a player? So I know that's not like we're just kind of just spitballing here. So
I really wish we would have the digital army builder by now, but I know maybe we'll see it if we get the new edition. Maybe.
Well, that's all kind of pie in the sky things we want. I guess it wouldn't be. It's not necessarily fair for us to go off and just wish list, but this is the type of stuff we get to talk about, or we think about when we aren't playing as often anymore.
We're not playing. We don't have any new rules. We're like, I mean, I told you, I was like, I'm on my fourth army update since, as well as doing commission work. So I'm like, I'm on my fourth one and I don't know what else I'm going to work on after this. Like, I don't have anything for me personally, because I'm just still waiting on Engine Wars. Like, there's, you know, I have 3 armies in Engine Wars that come with that one. So there's 3 things that I can work at. And I just finished a Chaos Knight upgrade. So I'm like, well, you know, maybe, you know, I have a what's called a random Castellan kit that I'm waiting on to see what happens with Chaos, because to see if maybe they get better in the Chaos, you know, Knight update, because that way I can make it. I don't know. I guess I can just do client work. I've got a couple client pieces I'm sitting on.
Well, you've been painting some Death Guard and stuff, so let me know what you've been doing with that. You know, Death Guard are one of those armies that, I mean, a lot of people like because of the way they look. They're all really impressive looking figures, but you've got some stuff in your army that I don't think people consider like real competitive right now. So tell us what you got, and then how'd you come to those decisions?
So it's something I've been talking about for a while, and then I usually have discussions online with Don the Mastodon. We talk about random stuff and how we like the Rhino. And I've always been a fan of it. I played them in a 2-year LVO. Rhinos are like, why are you playing Rhinos? I'm like, I hide my guys and eventually I get out and punch you in the face. So I'm running like I have 80 Plague Marines, 8 5-man units, 2 Plague Flails in each unit, which if everyone knows, they are 10 points apiece. They do D3 attacks. And now with Hateful Assault, they do 2D3 attacks. And like strength 6, poison, -2 AP, 2 damage, and the damage doesn't go away. So you can't like take a one wound guy off it. The two damage keeps going through. So they'll hit one wound unit units and just murder through them. If they're Imperium, every six you roll gives you an extra D3 attacks. So these little guys will just pound, do a ton of damage, and they're rerolling hits, usually rerolling ones, and then rerolling wounds because of the Arch Contaminator nearby for the Plague Stab. So it's this huge unit. I'm running all, you know, bunch of plague knives. In the army I have, which is different from the one I think Don posted about, is 5 rhinos, 40 guys, a Dema Prince, a Biologist Putrefier, which is the one gives you the grenade upgrade attack.
Does he do anything else?
He makes your grenades plus 1 strength, 2 damage. Mm-hmm. And then every wound of a 6, I think it's every wound of 6, causes a mortal wound. So he just does that. So you can have guys throw one grenade each, 1d6 grenades. And he has like a pistol thing. And I don't know if he has the hyper grenade. There's something else he does. And then I'm running 3 Hellforged Contemptors with Butcher Cannons to give me some long range fire support. So it's it looks like a fun army. It has a lot of models. I can go around and do stuff on the table.
That's a lot packed in from what it sounds like.
Oh yeah, it's a large amount. I just got I had made a couple close combat units of Plague Marines. I would run 7 man units that would come out of a rhino, and then I would grenade something and charge something, and they can do enough attacks to be kind of annoying because of all the reroll and the poison, and you give them blades and veterans of long war, they're starting to cause mortal wounds on 4 ups. So they can hit a unit and just murder through a unit. If it's Imperium, they can sit there and do a lot of damage.
With Death Guard or Nurgle, you know, in generals, they've got these abilities that turns them from a tanky, you know, force into a very killy force, with things. I mean, you are kind of fishing for sixes, but there's ways to manipulate that with veterans and.
Well, that's the big thing with Chaos. That's one of their extra rolls is that they can stack. Yeah. Unlike most other armies don't get the chance to stack, they stack. So, and they come on combat with each other. So that's really where Chaos has its power. So that's why when you start looking for, like, that's why we're kind of worried to see what Engine Wars gets and what they do for demons. If they give something very powerful demons, then all of a sudden Chaos has a rebirth or a blossoming again.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that benefits Chaos. I mean, we've seen, you know, things like Possessed Star and stuff that's emerge as one of those contender lists. More, I think it's more of a gatekeeper list, but it's really on the higher end of that is because things stack, the keywords stack up as well. It's like auras that affect X thing, Y thing. You know, mm-hmm. You can get some extra value out of that if you have units that cross that borders of the keywords.
Yeah, like the first army I worked on for during the pandemic was a Possessed Star, a double Slaanesh Possessed Star, 2 possessed units. It's very fast. You can't escape.
Yeah, okay.
So that was the first one I did, and then I did Chaos Knights, and then I did Custodes, and then I did Death Guard. But Death Guard's one of those armies that are like, it's right. Like, I don't think their rules they have it are bad. I think that, you know, by rules-wise, their rules are fine. Their design, their points are fine. They just need some extra stuff, something, because they're kind of slow, right? And that's their biggest downfall. That's why I'm running Rhinos. They're just slow. It's like for an army that's like supposed to try to get there, there's a few things that just don't match up. Like their army-wide rule of being able to move and shoot with heavy weapons because they're slow and kind of person doesn't go to their vehicles, which makes no sense. You're like, that's the first thing you would see in every, you know, this is the old style rule.
New style rules, it would just always be there.
Always be there, which I expect. Most of their stratagems actually aren't terrible. Like they don't really have, like, there's not like massive stinkers. There's just not a ton of them. A lot of them are duplicate and good, but there's not like massive stinkers on their stratagem. So it's one of those armies that I think it's what I'm hoping with the update, which will add some things to it. It's sounding to me like the update's going to be like the Thousand Suns one, which is like, hey, we have these 7 plagues that have a Warlord Trader relic and something extra.
Hey, that'd be cool. Well,
I'm fine. Like, okay.
Look,
yeah,
if I get an opportunity to put Plague Marines on the table, I'm going to take it because the models are neat.
Well, the whole Death Guard range is you have a whole entire plastic army mm-hmm. that you can get fairly. It's not that expensive. There's a bit of problems doing weapon loadouts, but like I did all
for that because the 3-man, you know, the 3-man group they sell, like I forget what it's called, but it's the 3-man easy build. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes with a champion and a grenade launcher in there.
Well, I'm running like Plague Flails. You only get one in a box. And then you can make another one off the pretty easily off the cleaver. with adding something.
Yeah.
Clip it off, and then there is a awesome icon that you can put at the end of it in there in the box. But I end up taking I have a bunch of flagellants. So I have a whole bunch of flails that I just like snap up, put on the end of it, and then I use grenades and put them on the end of it so that like, they're whipping stuff around, you know, so they look nice and whippy, and then, you know, do some green stuff as needed.
Using some of those old, like everybody has probably a little bin of melt-a-bombs
mm-hmm.
that they have. You could, from the old assault squads, I think they came in.
Oh, yeah. They had like two per, oh my lord.
Yeah, I never glue them on because it was just something else to paint. You know?
Yeah. but, well, it's like, where does this go? I'm like, well, I mean, you can strap it to the belt kind of. So basically just shoving glue on the side of its leg and hope it doesn't make it look bad.
Yeah.
You know, all right, let's put it on there.
But now you can turn into flails if you kept them for the 10 years that
I do have a lot. One of my friends was like, hey, does anyone have any jump packs? I was like, you don't want to know how many jump packs I have laying around in my house. I can send you many jump packs. It's okay. Do you want the old school ghetto ones or the like? Which ones do you want? Because I have a bunch of them.
That's funny.
I mean, it's like we talked earlier how you lost some models and I've lost models, and it's like, how do I find all these bits of crap, but I can't find these?
Yeah, I can't find a full. Yep. Yes. For the people that have been listening from last week, I'm still looking for Call and the Thanatar.
I told him, like, I lost two Dodiro Dreadnoughts and a Demon Prince. I think they fell in a box when I was cleaning out my room and threw them away. This is the madness that I have. I was like, I sat there, I'm like, where'd it go? I don't know what I did with it. What I've learned is usually if I get anything expensive, I need to deal with it right away.
Yeah. Well, or you put it somewhere that, yeah, with can't be separated from where it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. And this madness that is my room where you see, like, I just have models and books, and now I have RC cars everywhere. So it's like, what is, I'm just going crazy.
No, but Plague Marines, plentiful, easily available. They came in starter sets. So just to bulk out the actual force, if you're going that direction, is not too terribly difficult.
No.
But I get you're saying with the special weapons. Cause yeah, I've been in that thing where like making kill teams and stuff where I wanted to have the two grenade launchers. And I'm like, oh man, you can actually, you know, look in these little smaller, like there's ways, you know.
Oh yeah, the grenade launcher one. It's the flail, and there's a flail in the Japanese Space Marine Heroes that looks really good that we can't get right now. And I'm like, I want this. I'm trying to, you know, when I can get a chance to order something. It's the question on, do I order a malignant caster with all the paint? Because by paint wise value, it's like it's okay, but it makes me sound like I'm crazy. It's like I want to spend $70 to get this model and paint I don't really need. I mean, we're crazy, you know. We buy Forge World stuff. So
yeah, it happens. Sometimes you just got to do it, right?
I know. Well, it's like I want this model. Why do you want this model? Well, I don't want to answer that question.
No, the thing in some of this, when we're looking at our collections and painting them and stuff, having that variant model is sometimes really cool. It's can be turned into kind of like a, you know, your lucky model, a prized possession. It's cool.
That's why we convert stuff. I mean, if we wouldn't convert stuff, if we didn't want something unique looking and different.
Yeah, it's neat. Man, it's nice to hear about the Death Guard army, and then the Rhinos plays in that same mentality of vehicle transport vehicles that hold other things that are also durable and have, you know, at least some a bit of a threat.
I'm telling you, if I could take Impulsors and Chaos, it'd be a different. It'd be a very You could see like Noise Marines coming out of Impulsor like stuff would just be like, what just happened? Or Berserkers. I mean, Berserkers are still insanely good for how much damage they do when they get there.
Yeah.
And even only a couple guys getting there, you're like, what just happens? Like, there's a whole bunch of damage coming your way.
Yeah. Yeah. They just melt things, pick them up. Exactly what you said, even with the minimal that survive. And so if you can find a way to, you know, to get them work into your list. A way to make them more survivable, such as a Rhino. Rhino, now, I mean, they took a lot of grief when they went to, I mean, they were originally a lot more points than they are now. I think they've had a couple of reductions.
Yeah, they're 67 points with a Combi Bolter.
Yeah, that, I mean, to me, that sounds almost free.
Oh, yeah, it's, I mean, well, do you remember we used to pay for Rhinos? 35 points?
30 points.
Oh, wait, if you played Marines, you didn't pay any points for it. Never mind.
Right. Oh, that was a period. That's a dark period. I think everyone is happy to be past.
It's like I said, I think 8th is okay, like is okayish, but we don't know the meta necessarily now. I don't think it's in the depths of what 7th was. I don't think it's at that stage yet. Brohammer list, the Broviathan was probably the closest one. I think we saw I was reading online, people did a Brohammer versus your Yunari list, old school Yunari, mm-hmm. and old school pre-fact Brohammer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Brohammer won. Turns out unkillable dreadnoughts are really a problem.
You know, I can see how they'd be a little annoying.
Who would have guessed? Yeah.
Hey, Yunari players need some more Dark Reapers, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It was the old school Yunari. It's a double the one that double shot. And the problem is that old school Iron Hand just doesn't die.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So they.
I get it. That was just a completely strong list. But this is, you know, you're talking about things that you're playing on the virtual tabletop simulator. And what I'm seeing is things emerge that people would struggle with model wise. Like they wouldn't go, you know, they're playing things that would be annoying to build up. And that's one of the limiting factors of some things. It's not, you know, it's not always the case, and people will always make those extremes. But we're seeing more people test that kind of stuff out. So I'm wondering, you know, as we get on the other side of this, how much of that playtest ability will be worked back into people's routine now?
It's hard. Like I talked to you. I told you yesterday. Like, so there's a lot of three Lord of Skulls lists, and I'm one of the dumb players that has three Lords of Skulls at home. That bought them real quick before LVO. And I think I went 5-1 with them at LVO. So I was like, not too bad. Yeah. And you can't buy them. Like it's very hard. And now with everything else, it's like, there's just no way. What else did I see? I've seen like this Plague Marine army that I put together that people have all the flails, you know, just weird stuff that they can't necessarily get a hold of and get. So we'll see. I mean, I expect any event that happens towards this year, end of year, end of summer, will probably be the same stuff we're used to, bar some crazy rules coming out. There might be, I mean, I'm hoping we see more painted armies. That's what I'm hoping. People had all this time.
Well, you say they had all this time, but now GW is opening up the shops, you know, or at least the web shop anyway. So people are going to go back into the buying phase and less into the hobby phase.
Not for US. That's what sucks. It's not going to happen to US till I think Tennessee opens. So when Tennessee opens, then Paul and myself will get rules to talk about, hopefully. Because I think we're missing Engine Wars should have already been out. And this would have been War of the Spider is what we would have gotten in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it is still fun to kind of speculate on what some of this stuff is, because we know with Engine War, we're actually going to see some new model, like
Admech
kits. I mean, not multiple kits, not just character models, but, you know, some pieces in a range.
Yeah, you get like the two different like horse guy, dog guy. So that's a two part kit. You get the flyer, which is a heavy attack thing, and a transport. And then you get the jump pack guys, which are jump pack guys and assault jump pack. So basically it's three kits that are coming for Admech. And I'm guessing, did they come out with a big fat Admech guy by himself already as a separate kit you could purchase? I think
you're talking about, yeah, the one that the kill team dude. Yeah. I think it was originally a kill team dude. Release.
I think they did come out where you can buy them now. I just was trying to think of that as going to be the HQ choice they just throw in that pack. I don't think there's any other characters they're missing.
There is the one from, it's in the combat arena box.
Oh.
I forget what is the, he's not the Daedalus, Dialogus, I think is, or something.
There's a servo guy there too, right?
There is, yeah.
So you're right. So maybe they'll come out with those. I think I have one somewhere in a box.
Oh, they're amazing models.
Yeah, we got some from for our Bulls review, and I was like, I want those. So I took them, and they add to my pile of crap that's in there. I found many things.
Well, I think they're just like that kind of stuff is like bits. Like mm-hmm. if you're making a chaos sorcerer or something that matches with, you know, you want some biomechanics on it, then you can just easily go harvest those types of bits. I like having that kind of stuff around.
Yeah, we're the same thing on that. We're like, why do you have this? I'm like, I don't know. The deal was good. Yeah. Do you remember the old?
Because I need one. I may want this hose. this one bit that's on this thing. That's why.
Do you remember that old? There's an old Warriors of Chaos way back in the day. They came out with these weird mutated warriors in a box set, and a store had them for half off. This is like four or five years ago. So I've held on to that 5 years, and I finally opened it up and started using it for stuff. to work on my possessed bomb. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I still have these. I didn't throw those away, but yeah, somehow I threw two dreadnoughts away. So
yeah, you know,
of course.
We are kindred spirits. I understand.
But yeah, like Engine Wars, like I expect. So we know it's so we'll demon. We know we have demons. And so I expect them to get the Grey Knight treatment, as I call it, where they have probably a massive change in how they play because they're just a weird army. They're just not they're a glue army, which is not always the best thing. Like a lot of choices in their army just don't make any sense, right? They just don't work right now in 40K. Like on paper, Grey Demons have a batch of rules that seem neat, but they're not good for the tabletop. You know, they have no way to hide, no way to get out there. You can't force all of them to have a 3-up of normal save because that can be oppressive. So the question is how you kind of resolve this and fix this and do anything else like that. So I was like, are they going to bring back the Warp Storm table to make everyone frustrated again? Are they going to, I loved it. I mean, I won't tell you how many times
I've heard games. I know you loved it as someone who played against you during that period of time.
What did you do? I roll good, yo. I roll best. It's like, I hate you so much. The one game was like, I think Nick got mad. I was like, you roll +1 of roll save every turn. I'm good, y'all. I'm good, dog. What you talking about?
Yeah, sometimes good at 40K. I tell you
that sometimes I'm supposed to win this game against you. So maybe they'll bring that back. I talked about before I wanted them to do how they did Ghazghoul with the whole they can only take X amount of wounds a turn. I'd like to see that, or for phase, I'd like to see that come to greater demons. I think that would make them.
It's going to be interesting to see how that gets applied. You know, now that is out of the box, you know, that we now know that exists, you know, how does it now influence what will be future releases?
Yeah. Cause it's one of those rules that, I've talked to people that hate it. People don't. They said that it shows you that the rules of 40K with the way shooting is too good. Because you have to invent this crazy way to circumvent shooting, killing something. I look at it as just another aspect of generating, making something tough without having to make them ridiculously tough by their stats or rules or anything else like that.
You're not changing the core mechanics of the game. You're just giving them a special rule.
That's the way I look at it. So I think that I thought that it was fine. We had I think me and Abe had a talk about it. I was like, I think overall it's fine. 40K is not like 40K is not necessarily a game of one thing is so much dominating the table. It's usually an army and parts of it dominating the table and dominating holding objectives, holding stuff like that. So I think like one, you know, Ghazghoul sitting in the middle of the table, you can't kill him for a while is, you know, at least he's not killing you type stuff. So I'm fine with it. So I would like to see it show up for some of the greater demons, like Keeper's Secrets have been great.
With this particularly though, it's not that showing, in my opinion, that shooting is too good. What it shows, there's a collision of rules here. So can we make Ghazghoul be above a 10 wound character and still be playable? And the answer was because the character rules have this ability, we don't want to change that. That's not necessarily flavorful. I think that kind of goes against the core principle of the game. Let's give him something else and then still be able to give him a stat line that's indicative of what people think the character should be.
Exactly. If you made him 9 wounds, then we basically have another Roboot, initial release of Roboot, because then he's too cheap at 285. He can hide and he does too much damage, right? If he was, let's say, you can't kill him right away, right? So let's say he had 9 wounds so he could hide behind his unit of boys. So it's that dance of how you do this and how you do these rules. And they introduce a new rule that they've done in AOS that's annoying in AOS, but it's not dominating the game necessarily, I hope. So hopefully I'd like to see it show up a little bit more in some of these things, like, the Avatar Kane should have something like that.
Yeah. The Avatar, Avatar has had a tough go of it.
Yeah.
For being something that is supposed to be the embodiment of war and the Eldari culture. He certainly doesn't spend a whole lot of time warring.
Oh, no. It's hard for him to get off the chair. Just let him go. Let him sit. It's okay. No, it's a set. There's a lot. But we can start, you know, all this rule stuff. So this is where I think demons will go. We'll see, depending on how they're working. And I think Chaos Knights and regular knights are basically going to be mirrors of each other, where you can make your own households with some new relics and some new warlord traits.
That's an easy thing to include, yeah, I think. Or at least something we could expect, yeah.
And so it makes me think the Chaos one will end up being better because the Chaos one doesn't have – like they have – like their power in Chaos is they have – the relics are really good. They have a lot of good relics and they have the Dreadblade thing, which is really good. So those are the two really powerful things. Their warlord traits are eh, and their households one is like, they're both good. Like, they're good households, but they're not like, you know, losing some stuff for maybe something extra or something else would be beneficial to them. While on regular nights, you know, they have strong households. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, we might see a knight get a demon keyword, a mark keyword, like Mark of Chaos.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. You know, anything that gets this stuff on the table, and I think that the demons are one of those things that are very important to 40K. And you're right, the greater demons just seem to be struggle a bit. And so things that help with their durability or you know, I guess you could also go the other way. I mean, I think for us, we tend to wish list more towards having things stay on the table longer, but making them more killy, I think, would also be fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, like a bloodthirster coming in and exploding something, or exploding and dying in its rage, you know, so there's all kind of, there's a lot of directions. It's just, the book felt very, it kind of felt slapped together, right? It wasn't like there were the themes of the book just was like, it just wasn't a very, wasn't flavorful.
The demon book? Which book are you talking about?
The demon book. I didn't think the demon book was super flavorful. I thought it was pretty, I thought like the stratagems were overall pretty weak and then got nerfed a little bit. And then their warlord traits are okay. Their spells are kind of eh. You know, for beings of pure magical chaos, they should have been better spells.
But I think right now, it's the codex is showing its age a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of
100%.
The fact that we can even say that, you know, it feels like we just turned around not that long ago and we had eighth. But.
I mean, hell, we were playing the four, remember fourth, how long, or how long, 3.5. Like, I left at the beginning of three. I left when three started because I had gotten out of school. And then I came back like, what was it? 4.5 years, 5 years later, and 3.5 had just finished and fourth had come out. You know, so I was like, for the amount of time that I've been playing stuff, it's like, so like, yeah, these old days, you have these old editions, right? And they lasted forever. And then now, you know, we had seventh, which, you know, sixth had a lot of, sixth came out, and then seventh came out pretty quick, I thought, from six, right?
Yeah, it felt like that. Yeah, I think it was a 2-year turnaround.
And then seventh was for a while, and then eighth came out as a full refresh. I kind of missed some of sixth. There's some really bad stuff I did in sixth.
Yeah, but I guess trying to stay in the current, the demons, yeah. I do hope that you get a little bit of love, only because they're kind of fun and easy to, another one of those almost purely plastic ranges. Like, you can get a lot of the things you need to done just in the plastic, which opens up some potential for, you know, easy to buy, easy to model up, easy to paint.
Yeah, I think it's just Epidemus. Is it just Epidemus? And is the Slaanesh Herald is still fine cast? Because they came out with because I think Slaanesh Herald and Epidemus are the last ones that are fine cast. I think that's it. Oh, Blue Scribes. There you go. That's the other one.
Yeah, I forgot about those guys. Well, let's take a break.
Yep.
Then we'll come back and we'll talk about some painting stuff. This the most recent White Dwarf has the Death Watch in it.
I don't even have it, so I don't know.
Well.
I have pictures of it.
So. The Death Watch, they're held up by the fact that they've got all these special rules anyway. So what this does, it just basically modernizes them to, officially modernizes them to give them the new Marine rules and the new Marine template of stratagems. Which,
exactly.
You know, what we've seen with the Space Wolves, you know, you're going to use those, right? So if you were playing Death Watch, it's great that you have them. That's probably all you need because you have all the special rules. And the White Dwarf pretty much just does that for them, gives them that bit of a Band-Aid. So probably all could reasonably expect out of the White Dwarf, but, you know, who knows. But in this White Dwarf, there are also some really cool paint tips, and I want to run some of those by you because I know that you've got some ideas and tips and tricks because you're a fast painter as well.
That's what I do.
Yeah, so let's take a quick break and then come back and talk about that.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back. It's still me and Thomas. Goat Boy, how you doing today?
Doing good. I'm surviving my household with two smaller children.
Yep. So we said we're going to talk about the White Dwarf. The White Dwarf this week, I can't recommend this magazine enough. The reason I say that is because of all the painting articles that they cram in here. I mean, yeah, there's other articles and stuff, battle reports and you know, of course, not, kind of like news or insights into what is coming out. And then there's, they support all the games in here, but most of the magazines have, I don't know, seems like a dozen painting tips or articles in them. And the way that I look at things, the way I go about kind of getting skills on painting is I take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, see things, you know, just add them to the bag of tricks for when I think it might be appropriate. And there's a tip in here about painting Ghazghal. It goes through, it actually goes through the different sections of Ghazghal's armor and it, or model, and it talks and it labels them really like in an orc way, you know, so it tells how to paint his red teeth. You know? But it's got a cool metal mixture in here that they call pig iron, and I don't remember seeing this described this way in past magazines, where the base of the armor is a mixture of Iron Warrior and Abaddon Black.
Oh, it's that there's a couple things you can do for that tone. Like some of the tricks you can do that if you don't have want to mix the actual paint, you can just do the actual paint and do the contrast over it. That will give you the contrast. Black Templar will give you a really close-ish tone. I did something similar with a bunch of different paints to try to do Iron Hands, kind of test this scheme that I wanted to try out, where I did that and did a really dark, dark, heavy contrast or dark, heavy wash that basically hit the whole model, stained it this over a metal or the darkest metal I had, which was like, I think the darkest one I had was like a plate. They call it gun metal. Mm-hmm. Through other stuff. It's like a lead, there's a lead belcher or something with like darker set. And then I contrasted the crap out of it. And then I would took a very light dry brush and dry brush bull gun metal over on top of it. And so what ends up happening is you have this dark, dark, dark metal, this kind of stains out. And then that dry brush will go over towards the edge of it. And then I'll even wash it again after the dry brush.
That's what they suggest here in the magazine too. Is that you've got this combination of Iron Warrior and Abaddon Black in a one-to-one mixture. And that's your base coat. Then they shade it with Nolan Oil and, you know, to mm-hmm. darken it down even more. And I think that's a neat thing to kind of mention is the reason you just don't put more Abaddon Black in to make it darker then, I think is it's easier to control to get the shade that you want if you're applying thin layers of wash. Like you could theoretically do multiple layers or only shade a certain piece of it darker if you were going for more of a mottled effect.
You're exactly right with the shading. And also you're looking at the fact that you're lining the corners, like where everything is coming together, where you would see a darker tone anyway, because it's more recessed on it. So that's how you can create with this one versus just being adding more of the matte on black, then you end up having a flat white, flat metal versus when you now you have shaded, you have modeling, you have something else going on with it. So,
then they highlight it with Stormhost Silver, which is a very, very bright silver. And then they go back and shade it again with a Nolan Oil. Mm-hmm. But again, well, that's you get the highlight and then you knock it back to you're making it look. I think this particular effect is for this obviously not very well taken care of piece of armor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not super taken care of. No, it's an interesting, like a lot of tricks you do, like a lot of tricks you do with a kind of batch or bulk painting or painting a lot of stuff is you go brighter than you think you should. Because what you're going to do is you're going to, with the wash you're going to use, which you're like, if you're doing bulk, you're going to probably do a heavy wash or a slop wash on it because that will dull it down and then make everything kind of pop more. So, like a lot of times when I do my metal stuff, I'll go super, super, super like aluminum, I think what it's called, or platinum. And then because you're just like, no, I'm going to wash it. It's going to dull it down. And then all of a sudden you'll see all the recessed lines because it'll be very more contrasty on it. So
yeah, you'll get the look that you want from 3-4 feet away.
Exactly. Is it going to be the best thing close up? Like, no, but I'm painting 40 models. I am not painting a single model. I'm painting 40 and I want to look decent on the tabletop.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a real consideration, you know, and I know that we were describing a lot of steps here, but this is to achieve the effect of Ghazghal's armor. And this is the one that's on like the webpage, like the GW webpage. Like this is how the heavy metal guys did it kind of thing.
And you can do like, you can do much easier and simpler stuff on it. I mean, it all depends on your style. Like the whole, you don't have to necessarily mix the colors. You can do the colors and just do the washes and contrasts. Those are easy. And just, you know, to get you an effect that's decent and everything else on there. Like I think I did mine, my normal style of doing this. I do black, brown zenith sprays and then 3 or 4 tone metal. And then I do this really bright yellow because I like my, all my orcs are yellow, and then all my orcs are red skinned, which is the other difference because I got tired of painting green skin.
Hey man, fair enough. I got a buddy who does blue orcs.
Yeah, it's like I'm just so tired. Like I'm just done with this. I'm going to paint red.
That's okay. So it's like, I mean, you gotta, especially when you're getting through orcs, you know, or any kind of horde army, you've got to find some way that makes you enjoy it or at least not mind it to where you don't have to rely on motivation to paint them.
The big thing I find with like any like horde painting, if you guys want to do, or bulk painting, is you pick one thing to be really good, and then everything else is base tone or base, then maybe one shade up highlight. Because you pick one thing, like I use, like for orcs, I usually do the skin good. Mm-hmm. Like skin will be multiple layers of colors for skin, and then his pants, you get blue pants, you get yellow shirt. Wash is going to make it happen. I was like, what about the belts? The belts get brown.
Yeah,
and so that's the
trick. Sometimes. The belts look like the shirts, and sometimes the belts look like the pants.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, no, because that's the only way you're going to get through this stuff. And then, like, I do a lot of bulk painting whenever I paint. Like, I paint a lot of client stuff. And normally, I can do 30 at a time. I'm not very good at the end of it. That's usually a 3-hour paint. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, I'm not very good. My brain's not good. I usually have a headache. So normally when I paint for myself, I do 5 to 10 is what I try to keep it at. I had some marathon Tyranid painting sessions that I was not very happy about.
You do. I've been there, man. Yeah. I mean, not with Tyranids, but I think it was like Chaos Cultist that I was using as a Renegade IG.
And there's like, why do you have this belt buckle? Why can't you just wear a schmuck? Just a robe.
Yeah. Like what crazy sculptor put this pouch on you?
Thank you. So it's always the strive of the meta chaser or the army painter you know. But yeah, like I think, see, like my Death Guard, the scheme for my Death Guard is super easy. I went with a very basic simple scheme of I spray it black, I spray it brown, and I don't spray the whole thing brown. I spray parts of it a brown, like a bestial brown, something or some other, like a brownish, a little bit of orange in it. Mm-hmm. Dry brush it a tin metal, like a rusty tin metal. Then I dry brush it bulk gun metal. And then I paint Death Guard green in the parts that need to be Death Guard green. And then I do my whatever flesh tone you want to do. I do Bugman's Glow, Rackish Flesh, Bleach Bone. Mm-hmm. And then I wash the green wash. Oh, I dot the eyes red.
I encourage people to mix up their flesh tones. I think it's really easy to all, at least for me, to just do the same one, do the one I'm comfortable with. I know if I put this base coat on and then this wash, then it's going to give me a passable effect. But, you know, varying what the technique that you use.
It depends if I want to. I'll either start purple or I'll start red or I'll start the Bugman's Glow or I'll start a darker color. It depends on the start stage. And then sometimes I'll go up to Pallid Witch Flesh or a whiter flesh. And then I look at whatever wash I want to do on top of it. So Death Guard usually get a green. So everything gets kind of a more of a greener tone. Other stuff gets a browner tone, depending on a purple tone or a red tone, depending on the mood I'm in. I've done some blue ones for cold flesh. You know?
Yeah, but before we get too off from we're talking about this metal, there's another a couple of steps in here. And this is the takeaway, I think, from this. Like, you can have a dark metal, you know, there's a lot of ways to get to that dark metal if that's what you're going for. Any kind of metal, you know, that's another thing. We get kind of creatures of habit for the metal we use. It's Lead Belcher, it's Null and Oil,
100%.
And then it's a little bit of a dry brush, you know, on top or maybe one edge highlight on the end. But where they go one step past that, actually two steps past that, is they use some glazes for weathering. And these, they use two colors that I wouldn't pick, you know, at least in myself anyway, which is a glaze for weathering Rhinox hide. And then they have another glaze of Morphane brown. And Rhinox hide is a really dark brown. It's if you don't have it in your like toolbox already, it's like a dryad bark in its level of darkness for the brown.
Mm-hmm.
But you, if you thin it down, you can do water. Lamia medium is also a good thing just to, if depending on what you're trying to do. Water, you know, I don't know that I'm good enough to really benefit from using Lamia medium. I try to every now and then, but I can get an effect that's pretty similar with just water in a lot of cases.
I can usually do the water. So the Lamia medium, so what you see on that one is medium has so anything. So what that medium is just stuff without the color out of it. There's no color in it.
Yeah, it's the same base liquid of the paint without any pigment in it.
And without any pigment. So I think I'll do with water. Like, I'll water it down. A lot of weird tricks I like to do. Like, you go through my stuff and you see things with a weird green glow. The trick I've used for that one is I just take the Hexwrath Flame Technical Paint. So I'll paint whatever I want to be glowy. I'll just paint it white. Or I do like gray to white, just to get two different tones. And then I'll slop on the Hexwrath Flame. And while it's wet, I'll take Scorpion Green or whatever that neon green they have. Mm-hmm. And I'll water it down with a little bit of paint on it and dip it into it and then watch it like pull through the whole thing. And so the green paint has more weight than the other paint, so it starts layering into the shades. And so you get this really soft greenish glow for no work at all.
I love that you use like the name of the green paint from the 70s. I believe it's Moot Green now.
Well, that's what I remember. I was like, it's the Scorpion paint. It's like, that's not what it is. Moot Green?
I think it's Moot Green, yeah.
It's Moot Green? It's because I don't have that. That green paint is over. Where'd it go? You can do this similar trick with the blue, Noxious Oxide, mm-hmm. and then you take and you dip in the Bayomet Blue Edge Paint. Will work perfect. Does is the exact same thing. So for plasma stuff, without doing a dry brush on it, you just basically just paint whatever area you want white, and then just wash it with that Noxious Oxide, and then as it's wet, dip in the Bayomet Blue. And what it'll do is since the Bayomet Blue has more weight, it'll pull around.
It'll suck itself down into the recesses mm-hmm. a little bit easier.
Okay. It'll go down the recess a little bit easier. It'll be a little bit brighter on there, and then it gives us a much softer glow. So it's kind of like how you'll see they'll do the airbrush OSL without being airbrush OSL. So it's got a much different kind of look to it, and it's soft. Oh, if you go through and look at a lot of my, there's some green glowing, like the Mortarian I painted all his green glowing stuff. That's why I did all his green stuff.
Yeah, these browns that they reference here, I would have never have thought to have used. Maybe the Mournfang, because it's a little bit reddish. You know, the thing I've been using, which I also got from tips like this, was using the Scrag Brown as rust mm-hmm. because, man, it's got that right, real nice brownish, almost orange, like almost orangey color, to where you can go from it to the RZA Rust.
100%.
You know, just without too much of a jarring transition. Because you see this, what I think one of the things that separates some, maybe what you expect on a model, or, you know, from seeing somebody else's and then trying to replicate it in yourself, is that you don't use the right colors. That's a really subjective term, and I'm not trying to make it an accusatory, but you use different colors. Like, you jump from one thing to another, so your edge highlights look a little bit less organic than somebody else's because you're one shade off from maybe where you should be.
Yep.
Again, still looks great from 3 feet away, so whatever. And sometimes you just got – that's the color you got, so that's the one you got to go with. But, yeah, I think that Scrag Brown to the orangey, whatever, you know, the Troll Slayer-ish color of the orange, that's a really cool transition. But this, they're not going up to that level of orange in the rust. And so they've used these other brown colors, which I don't think I would have thought to use in this way without seeing somebody else do it and seeing the effect they achieved and telling me how they did it.
You can do like, so it's really, so a lot of times when you think of doing a wash, you think of a wash as darkening. And the better way to think of it is a lot of times a wash or like a, it's a, they call it like pin washes. Mm-hmm. Like how you do the Noxos, where it's basically like layering around a brighter color. That's what you do with a lot of the brown. So basically it's kind of like a mud has gotten into it, or that's the kind of setup. Yeah. And for most of my rusts, I like, unless I'm doing something really cartoony, I do bright orange. If I'm doing like a lot of my Death Guard are bright orange because it's really cartoony and I'm going ahead and dulling them down in a wash anyway. I'll do sponge brown, and Mournfang is great. That Scrag is good too, because it's got that little bit of orange in it. Like, I like that little bit of orange makes me, it's a nice color. It looks good. Like, it feels nice. It looks good. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I say it. It's
and that's it. Like, you don't have to be concerned with how the science says that it should oxidize or whatever. You just need to put whatever on your model looks the way you want it to look.
We have giant robots running around with people strapped in with memories of their kingdom for years inside of them. We have giant fungus guys that now eat people, but sometimes didn't eat people, and they eat themselves, run around, and then magic psychers and beings of the warp. Yeah. You know, so it's like, it's okay. It doesn't matter.
Just whatever you want.
Sponge some orange on that gold. It doesn't matter. I know gold doesn't rust. It's okay.
That's exactly right. Whatever you want to look that way. So, you know, I was making those comments about, you know, what colors you should use or whatever. Those, that really goes out the window if it just looks the way you want it to look, right?
Who gives a crap? You can bleep that out. It's a donkey sound. I try to be good. I'm awake this morning. I had a good breakfast.
Another thing in this book, I mean, again, there are tons of painting tutorials in here, but they have a big section on using blood for the blood god.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't use blood for the blood god very frequently, largely because I'm not a huge fan of the glossy sheen that it has. And it's slightly different than, consistency. It's a technical paint. So the consistency is a little bit different. Let me go past. I'm probably just more afraid to work with it than I care about the gloss, like than I care about the shine, because you can mess with the shine and stuff, but it's just, I can't, for me, I'm such a novice with it that it doesn't behave the way I want as easily as I want. And I'm afraid of overdoing it.
It's a harder one because it's a weird paint because you basically just, I use it a lot. Because I play a lot of chaos stuff. I'll use it for sometimes my Death Guard where it's like, they have all their gross teeth and gross stuff. I'll just slop it on there and be like, here we go. And lately I haven't liked it that much anymore. Like I used to like it more and now I don't. I'll mix it with washes a little bit, like a little bit of the black washes and use it in there. And so you'll end up having this dark, gross, blackish blood that looks kind of cool. But I just don't feel you have a ton of control with it. So it's a little, from a control aspect, it's less, it's like a schlack or like it glosses, right?
It behaves just a little bit differently enough to where, again, I also, cause you know, they even talk about this in the tutorials here, is that you've got this beautifully painted piece on a model, like an axe or, you know, a face, you know, that you've spent all this time on. And then you go and I'm supposed to splatter this with some, something I'm not used to working with. I mean, things, again, but you don't get used to working with it unless you start working with it. You know, so
exactly.
You know, that's one thing, but it's not just it's not just about blood for the blood glide. They also use Karaberg Crimson, which I use that to great effect on ghouls, flesh eater courts, because, and also plague bearers, like my plague bearers have bloody hands. And so they did the same thing with the ghouls, and it gives you, it looks like they've been digging in, you know, somebody else's rotting flesh, or even their own rotting flesh, and the bloody hands, like straight out of the Walking Dead type stuff, just with Karaberg Crimson.
I've used it too. That's where I like to use it on, is like on the hands and all this stuff. I think it looks really good from that aspect. I think it has a really, I think you could probably do the Karaberg Crimson with a little bit of the blood gold, so you have shiny parts in it. So. But they should be kind of dulled stained blood.
Yeah. So they actually talk about this. There's a nice step-by-step process on how to do what they've labeled as fresh cuts on skin. So, and they start with just a real thin line of corn red. I'm talking about like down to the artificer brush layer, you know, but you can use any fine brush. They give you a line of corn red, and then they start doing a little bit at a time, drips of blood for the blood god that looks like it has, you know, blood pouring and, you know, various patterns coming down from this real thin line of corn red, you know, to give you, and this is obviously on a vertical thing where blood would be flowing down. You want to, you know, have the blood flowing in some interesting way. That's another, not to take us on too much of an aside. And this is another thing you don't have to pay attention to the science on stuff is when you're gluing on things like your purity seals or banners, you know, who cares if the purity seal is facing a different way or a different angle than maybe his arm is indicating that it should. If that's where it looks good, if that's where, you know, it's easy for you to stick it on, then stick it. I mean, you want it to look somewhat passable and realistic, but you know, you don't know what second of motion you're capturing right there.
I try to my best to make sure it's in that same methodology because it will frustrate me. It's just like not drilling out bolter holes in the weapons. I'm like, I can't do it. I have to have the bolter holes. Oh, speaking of that, I know this because you're old school. So I painted an old school rhino. I started drilling out the smokestack.
Okay. Yeah.
And because all the four other rhinos in the army are forge-old ones that have the weird looking ones. So it already has holes in the smokestacks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't leave this undrilled, at least started, you know, at least it has like little indentions in it.
Yeah. Put an indention in it. Yeah.
And now I'm looking, I'm like, well, I guess that's what I'm gonna do with my rhinos from now on. There's no way out of this.
Yeah, you've added that step.
I've added that step. I can't escape it. You know, it was a rhino that was already built, so I didn't have to build it. So I was like, well, all I had to do is figure a way to slap on a combi bolter. And I was like, all right, cool, we got this.
Yeah.
So
I know the title of this page here in the White Dwarf is called Blood for the Blood God, but it does give you a few different ways using Word Bearer's red, Caraber crimson, Blood for the Blood God. And to give you a bloody effect. And, you know, like I was talking about what I did for my ghouls and plague bearers, you know, that's because I wanted to achieve that type of blood look, that older blood. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it's older blood or not. Some different kind of, it matched the color palette that I was going for and gave me some cool contrast with the flesh tones that I was using. And you can, you know, use that as a guide for doing things. And if you've got something, especially if they're, you know, a bad guy that has a lot of exposed flesh, I mean, if I'm even like on a demon prince or something, you know, putting some, the blood you might use for the demon prince might not be red. You know, you could,
exactly.
you could do the same technique here with the idea with a purple or orange, you know, or yellow, you know, whatever looks appropriate for the palette that you're going for.
Exactly. So it's like, so there's a lot of fun stuff with it. I found, like I always had a lot of, enjoyment. I like Blood for Blood. I've used a lot. It's a weird color. If you don't want to, if you can't get GW, there's a couple other things that do similar stuff. Tamiya makes one called Smoke, and it's a smoke color, but there's a red one.
Yeah.
So it's a different color. You got to
have that. I've actually used it on my display for Adepticon this year. It's not a source object, but
it's sucks. Like this is me and Paul got on a, like, there's a picture floating around in our Facebook of Paul playing Reese at Adepticon. I remember being in that room. I remember watching the game because I think we had another friend playing in the top, other friends playing in the top 16. I've gotten to that once, Adepticon. Playing old school. I was probably one of the first players playing Flying Circus back in 6th edition.
Yeah.
And guess what? An army I played first was a Grey Knights army. I was like, are you serious? I lost round one barely because something dumb. And then I beat everyone else after that, all these Necron players. But, oh God, this makes me so sad because I was like, when am I going to see my friends again? You know?
Tamiya, whatever it is, the red. When you're holding it, like, you know that if you spill this, it's like relationship ruining stains.
that's not coming out of whatever gets spilled on. There's no,
like,
there's
holding it like it's, you know, plutonium, you know, or uranium or something. You know, you're just holding it. But I'm glad you brought that up because there's another section here of using the blood for the blood god as almost like a real paint. It is a real paint, but.
We have to leave that there.
There's these corn figures that have that you've probably seen them online, you know, or at least on the web store, that have that real candy apple red finish to their armor. Mm-hmm. They explain this as they have at least sprayed this model Retributor Armor Gold, gave it a shade with Agrax or shade, and then painted the flat parts with Blood for the Blood God. And that's how they got that candy apple red armor on these dudes.
It's a legit thing. Like a buddy of mine did that for his a bunch of knights. He candied apple their knights using not blood, but something similar like the liquid smoke to candy it, and it looks gorgeous. It's not something that I like personally.
Well, it's like, kind of say that automotive paint finish, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is kind of what it looks like. And if that's your thing or that's what you want, then it's kind of neat that you can achieve that, but that's like what you're talking about. Like that gives you, it's like using the contrast paints over the metals.
Exactly. Exactly.
You get that metallic that comes through it, and then you've got the properties of the paint.
I've done that. I did a test for a flawless host just for me to test, where I painted him bright silver And then I did a purple that over the parts I wanted on it and then fix up anything else. And it looks good. It's pretty easy. It's a little, my biggest problem with it is that you do, make sure you pay attention to it. It's like, you know, you have to make sure that you're on it. You have to be kind of careful. You got to have a careful kind of paint on it. It's not as easy as some other stuff is and not really forgiving, but it's fun. It looks cool. It's different.
Okay. That's sometimes it. You just want a little variation in your army, and there's a section in the book. And I know we're talking a lot about hobby, but you know, this is, you know,
that's all we got. That's
maybe
we got right
a little
now.
Bit extra time, you know, and stuff. There's a section on basing and how to make your bases look a little bit more interesting.
You're making me want to get this because I buy these stuff because I like buying hobby stuff. I like hobby stuff. That's why I buy the White Dwarf all the time. It's my hobby thing. And now I'm like sad that because I don't get it. I need to just go ahead and switch over and get it as a subscription at some point. I don't think I can get subscription right now. They're planning on adding one else until this is all over with.
That's fair. I like having, you know, it show up at the house. I mean, get me wrong. I also like excuses to go out to the hobby store. And, you know, right now, I'm sure that if any hobby store is doing like curbside pickup and they have a White Dwarf, they'd probably be happy if you bought it. So
I don't think anyone got it just yet. I'm waiting for them to ship out. I went and did curbside to a store that, you know, a store near me that I like. I bought a Hellbrute. That sounds so weird that I bought one.
Hobby champion.
Hobby champion. And then I bought Plague Marines to help finish off this army. So I bought stuff from them. I'd enjoyed that. And the Hellbrutes were another with that's army update number 2. So, and I guess what? I found another Hellbrute that I had from the old school Dark Vengeance set. I found one.
Oh, nice.
I just didn't like the, I had one arm, one of them with the, you know, hey boy, with the arm in the air. And I was like, I can't do 3 with hey boys in the air. But you can't do it.
That model, I mean, thankfully it is kind of easy to hack up.
Oh yeah, yeah. I hacked up one of the arms. I took off an arm and put all the Hellbrutes are going to be close combat ones. And so I put a Contemptor fist on it, which is hilarious. It looks awesome. So I was like, neat. I can have one do this. It's okay.
That's neat. Yeah. I mean, I really do recommend the White Dwarf subscriptions and like, you're not going to try everything paint wise that's in the books, but you know, again, you just get a little bit of inspiration here and there and think about using it the next time you get to it. That's like, you know, we have been a little bit, I guess, hit or miss with the frequency that we do the finishing move segments on the show. But it is that the whole thing is just about getting these little things, little 5-minute things. Like we're talking about that fresh cut or, do a little bit of brown weathering on some metal and with a different color brown than you would normally use. That takes 5 minutes. It does. I mean, maybe even less. But you just have to know you can do it and then, you know, budget in the time to really do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I look at it, is that just finding that little bit of time, little bit of stuff, doing these little extra little things. I do a lot of sponging work and then like building up a sponging, seems to be the most fun, for me anyway.
That's really cool that you get that, mastered, and then you start to see different places that you could do it. And that gives you just a little bit of differentiation between your guy's model, your models and the next guy's models, or you just do it on your commanders, you know, or something like, I mean, that's, yeah, like my, you know, I do in my like Catechin army, you know, I read something or heard something, might have just been in a movie, how the officers in the jungle don't want to look too much different than the infantrymen because, you know, they don't want to get sniped. So
yeah, exactly.
So like their uniforms, like they look, our base are very similar to an infantryman, but I look, you know, look for different ways to make them stand out, like a head swap or, you know, a little bit different extra weathering or some other, you know, an edge highlight or something.
Just something on it. So like this little sponge, a little bit down. I mean, this is what we have right now. We have hobby right now. Yeah. We could get on our soapbox and yell about whatever we think the meta is, but it's like, I have no idea.
Yeah. bringing up Catechins, there's a lot of, you know, well, one, we got that store gift.
That guy looks so frigging good.
He does. I hope that I can get one of those. I'm, of course, like a lot of other people, but I'm also a collector. I get it, but I also play Catechins. And so I really, really want this model.
It's one of those things. It looks so good. I was like, that's a wonderful model.
Yeah. And I put my name in the hat with the local game store, you know, hopefully.
How many are they getting?
I don't know. No one really knows. There's a lot of speculation out there. I think some of them are some stores are saying they're getting two or three, three or four. And this has caused, you know, the folks in the hobby to be having a lot of debate about what they think should and shouldn't happen with these things, and whether GW should or shouldn't have done this, you know, in the first place. You know, created this scarcity of demand, and some people think that they've put the game stores in very impossible positions.
Did they say how many they're going to give to each store?
I don't know. I know nothing. I only know what I've read in forums and in comment sections or whatever, and that it's going to be, you know, just a small handful, three or four or whatever. So, you know, again, I'm right there with you. I want this. I need it. Like, I need air. You know, I'm the same boat as everybody else. And so I want to try to speak objectively about my feelings on it, and then give an example of how this happens in other, you know, often relate some things that we do in Warhammer to stuff that happens in Magic.
Oh yeah. Like the whole, the new set that some people have, that some people are able to get.
Yeah. Well, So this stuff, you know, if the stores are getting three or four, and the stores then has to force to how they deal with it, you know, and these are things like the master sets in Magic. Mm-hmm. Are things where they, Wizards of the Coast, started doing reprints and created vehicles to release those reprints in formats or in sets that did not affect the way that their standard environment played. And there's different formats in Magic. Standard format rotates out. Is the idea is that it operates within certain constraints. There are other formats that operate within different constraints, and some of these reprints were to, in my opinion, inspire people to play and give people the tools to play in those older formats or the formats that include legacy type stuff that isn't standard. This is, again, just outside looking in type stuff. So apologize if I'm going.
I still keep up with Magic because I like to look at the sets and everything else, and I watch pack openings and everything else. Everything on it. I know Secret Lair came out where they reprinted the fetch lands, and
that's a game store only thing. So these things, they get,
and they started selling them like since there's no MSRP. This is the crazy thing. There's no MSRP on Magic stuff. So I think Wizards expect it to be, you know, less than the cost of buying individual Secret Lair lands, right?
Let me go to this one place here. These sets that they released, they're almost like gifts to the game store because they become in such demand that the game store is then able to sell them and higher than MSRP. And that helps them, you know, pad the books, meet the bottom lines. I mean, it's almost like a little bit of a nod from the manufacturer to the game store to say, look, this is an opportunity for you to sell, to not be in a price war, you know, or race to the bottom with price war type thing. That you can, these are things, they're going to sell them at a certain rate. They know in their minds already it's going to be sold at a higher rate. So it's a way to help, you know, have ends meet kind of thing for game stores.
It's a weird one. Like, it's just an odd thing on, and I'm all for like helping out the store, helping out the stuff. I think there's, you know, that's an important factor in all this, but it gets pretty crazy that, you know, there are these charges that get so high on it. I mean, it's imagining, and I mean, now we're seeing this for this one model, where, you know, do I want the model? Sure, I want the model. Am I going to pay extra amount of money? Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'll let someone else get it who actually probably wants to play it. I just want it because I want to paint it, and then who knows what to do with it. Probably nothing. Maybe accidentally throw it away. You never know.
It's going to make an amazing Katachin kill team is what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Cannot wait to try to. I mean, again, I'm in the same boat. I've got to, you know, follow whatever. So if the store gets three models, you know, and if it's an active store, I mean, they probably have 10 great customers. Maybe, you know, I mean, I don't know how they rank customers, you know, but I bet there's more than one or two people that are in there a lot and, you know, and doing a lot of their shopping at that store. So it's going to put them in a very difficult position. And so, I don't think it's the best thing to do to try to let your opinions be like the game. I think it's up to the game store owners to figure out what the best way to handle it is. And I think a lot of the salt may come from, because it's not what you want, you know, not what I want. And we have a fear that we might not get what we want. And that's where it's going to come from. But, you know, there's kind of got to need to leave it up to those guys everyone who's receiving this gift to do what they think is best with it.
Yeah, I mean, get what they have on there, sell it as they can. I saw some people doing like basically an eBay thing to help save the store.
Yeah.
And letting people bid it up and bid up how many, you know, whatever they're going to, you know, bid up for it. And I'm fine with it too. Cause I was like, well, these stores are, this is a rough time for them, yeah, you know?
That's where I can't be too judgy, man. I've got the same hope and fear. Like, I hope I get it. I'm scared that I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it right now. I feel like this model is way too cool to not make its way out again in the future.
Yeah. I think what they're going to do is, this is going to be released on this one. And I expect it probably to come back out again. And basically be another gift to FLGs, I was like, make something where it's only FLG only and make something from a GW standpoint. It doesn't cost them that much to make from a standpoint for there, and basically allows the, you know, people to say, okay, cool, we get three or four and they'll sell out. So it's not a ton of money out of GW's pocket. It gets people in the store. Maybe they'll buy something else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hope so. I hope so. But I think maybe I'm just trying to relay that I'm in the same boat as everybody else. But if this does help the game store, if they can sell it at a much higher rate and allows them to employ somebody else at the store, I mean, that could be somebody, a week's worth of hours, you know?
Yeah. So much. Look, what we say is like, me and Paul are both lucky that we're working. You know, that's why I'm going out and buying help roots at a store. So
yeah, but see, that's what I mean. Again, this is all stuff that is, I think if we look at the whole picture, I mean, you're going to have some folks out there, their motives are different, right? But I don't think that's going to be the case for most game stores. And if you can take any, I don't know, solace in the fact that this happens on the regular, on the Magic side, and we get through it, right? We all get through it.
I tell my wife every day, like, be very happy that I'm not playing Magic, because if I didn't have my play tests of whatever lands that's needed or anything else, it would be a sad time. I really want the arena game I work on Max. I was like, please come out for the Mac, because I'll play you online.
I play arena.
I watched it play, and I was like, this is cool. Like, I would play this. Like, why isn't this on my phone, or why is this on something else? I play the heck out of this because it looks good. Yeah. And it's cheaper, so a little bit cheaper. So it'll fill that role that I want to open up packs and do dumb stuff.
Yeah, I think this. Hopefully you hit the nail on the head with maybe we see more things like this come down to the friendly local game store, because I do think this is an amazing thing that's happening. And I mean, stuff, it didn't have to happen. Like, that's really, like, this didn't.
I want them to bring out that. I want them to do Aspiring Champions of Chaos with different legions. And basically,
if this is successful, and then hopefully we see more of it. I mean, it is cool. I mean, when the GW proper stores get stuff, I go there. It's not convenient for me to get there all the time. It is across town, and across town in Atlanta could be a multi-hour trip sometimes. And so I don't.
I remember you driving to the airport. I know.
Yeah, I don't often go there, but it is. I do like going out, and I support them for the things that they get and gets people in the store. And hey, it's stuff that it's a part of the experience. And yeah, I would like to see more things like this come out that directly helps the store in a way. I mean, it's like Free Comic Book Day for comic book stores. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it sucks. Free Comic Day is canceled. Yeah. Comic store. So it's like, that's a huge, I have a couple friends that own comic store that I go to, and they got lucky that they got the small business loan. So them and their employees will be more fine. They got lucky with it. And we're buying stuff. I make sure, when the comics come back, I go buy stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm under the opinion that I buy from every store that I'm near.
Yeah.
I always give money. I'm like, look, I can afford it. I can do it. I understand, people living on a budget. I can. So I'll go buy stuff. Sometimes buy stuff. I don't buy as much online. I try to usually buy locally most of the time. At least all my paint. I get all my paint locally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, if the stores, there are places to play, that's mm-hmm. places to meet people, the local to play games. I mean, this, we do something that requires that type of level of interaction. Anyway, what I'm saying, it's a good thing. And while there's going to be a lot of tension, I think while we see it all kind of play out, and we know that there's some amount of people that maybe aren't doing it, a lot of it is based on, I think, at least me, my hopes. I can only relay how I hope and fear is that, I hope I get it, fearful that I won't. And you know, maybe I had a good idea about how it could be done. And that's, but I think we got to trust that the game stores are going to do what is best for them. And that's exactly what this is intended for.
Just be happy. It's not a Primaris Lieutenant. Just be happy.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
Man, I cannot wait to get this thing on the table. I got to have my 80s action hero kill team, man. I got
it. It is so good. I mean, it is so good. Like, it's one of those ones. I'm hoping that they do. They never did like a heavy bolter female
No, there's a grenade launcher one, but it's not a auto cannon or heavy bolter one. Like,
they should do one like this. Just do that one.
But the other, like the store anniversary, I don't know if it's store birthday or anniversary or something. There's a female catechin with a heavy bolter. You know, again, I gotta get that one too, man. I'm in the hunt with y'all, with everybody. I'm with you.
I mean, do you remember like what was it, the old chaplain, the old Terminator chaplain that came out from like if you bought a certain amount of store ones and you got it? I ended up getting one. Someone gave me one from a store. It's like if you had extra one, gave it to me. I was like, awesome. I am selling to another client. I was like, I really want this model. I had this one. I painted. I'll buy it. All right, you buy it for whatever the cost of me painting. I don't care. I didn't pay for it. Nice. You've been buying stuff from me.
Even the skulls going down the litany thing or whatever. That's a cool one.
Oh yeah, I tell like people who've been buying from me for a while. I was like, if I didn't pay for this model, I'm not charging for a model cost.
Nice.
Because I sold my Ragnar I painted to a guy who plays it. It's like, you want my Ragnar? Like, why? It's like I painted it for a Bowls,
and
I
was
like,
review stream. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, I have it. You know, you can. It's like I painted it in your scheme because that's my Space Wolf scheme. He was very excited that he's going to get a hold of it. I have to ship it off to him when he sends me some other Spaceful stuff.
All right, man. But, Thomas, I appreciate you jumping on with me and having this chat. I know we ran across a bunch of different topics, but it's been fun talking to you.
Oh, it's always good talking to you, Paul. It's like I said, I was thinking about you the other day that there's a batch of people because the picture came up, and I was like, oh, I haven't talked to Paul in a while.
Let's do it. Perfect time to do it and record it, man. Well, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk again real soon.
For sure, you guys. Everyone be safe out there. Have fun. Paint some models. I want to see painted armies on the table when we start playing again, hopefully towards the end of the year. And if not, then you'll be shamed with the shame bell.
Good night, everybody.
Baby in the corner.